I want to talk this morning about living an undivided Christian life. I shared this message on Wednesday with all the small group leaders and the district leaders that was there, and I told God, God, I wanted to share this Sunday again. And this morning, when I just received the WhatsApp from Angela, yeah, it really rocked me at the core. And Alma, and we were talking this morning, and she said she had to talk this morning about our conference, and our conference theme is Choose Life. And you know, the thing is, when life really hits you between the eyes and things are difficult and things are tough, we need to choose life. Every day we must choose life. And if you can go to that third slide for me, please. We, as humans, we have a tendency to put everything in a box. I have a private life, and I also have a public life. I have a body, I have a soul, I have a spirit. And the fact is that in God's perspective, there's no division, there's no boxes. Whatever happens in my private life will manifest in my public life. Whatever happens in my soul and in my emotions will manifest in my flesh. Whatever I pray for and trust God for within my private prayer life will manifest in the natural. And so with God, there is a distinction between private and public. There's a distinction between soul, spirit, and body, but there's not a division. It's all one. And on a morning like this morning, when you get the news a dear brother has died and life knocks you right here, then you realize that there's no boxes in your life. Everything hurts. Everything hurts. There's pain everywhere. And when life knocks you like this morning, we've got to choose life. We've got a choice to make. In the most difficult circumstances ever. And standing here and saying that to you this morning is not easy. Because he was like a son to us in our home. He used to look at our home when we went on holidays. We usually asked him, look, we want you to look after our home. You know, and when we used to come in, you should see the kitchen. Jy kan van die vloer af eet. Dis netjie skoon, die beetjies is stokstyf oorgetrek, hy doe wytjies lê net so mooi. And it's just the man's heart, and we know what we prophesied over the man, and that's where the connection came when Christ brought us together. The man that led him to Christ this year, it's Chris. Chris led Wani to Christ at Klein Plaas. He can still remember. It was after one of those Angus Bucken services, we got him there, and he was there. And this morning, I want to challenge you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, we can't live our life in compartments. And I want to share with you where this philosophy comes from. And so the other thing that I wanting us to know, if you look, you can't know Jesus, you can't believe in Jesus and then say you follow Jesus. Those are two different things. It's another one of those compartments, an undivided Christian life. So many people, they know Jesus, but they don't believe in him. So many people believe in Jesus, but they don't follow him. And if we're Christians and we really want to follow the living Christ, we must believe in him, we must know him, and we must follow him. There's not a distinction in there, but it's all life. And the thing that I'm talking about this morning is the evil of dualism. Dualism is the division of something conceptually into two opposed or contrasted aspects, or the state of being so divided. And we are masters at living divided lives. We are masters at living life in compartments. And this philosophy comes from the yin and yang. Maybe you've seen this sign there at the right hand. What yin and yang says, life is a balance of opposites that can exist together. Yin and yang says, inside of me there's evil and good. And to be good, I have to be evil. And to be evil, I have to be good. Yin and yang says that evil and good can coexist together. It's in balance. It's like on Sunday I'm a Christian, but on Monday I'm a doctor. It's like on Sunday I'm a pastor, and on Monday I'm an office manager. And yin and yang says both of those can exist together, but God doesn't think so. God doesn't think in compartments. God looks at my private life and he knows what goes on in my private life because he can see what goes on in my public life. And so what yin and yang would say, if we continue, the examples of the compartments, for example, there's light but there's darkness. Inside of me there's light and inside of me there's darkness. The only problem is that light and darkness cannot coexist. If you switch on a light, the darkness runs away. And the only reason there is darkness in my life, the only reason where there's darkness at the office where I work is because my light is not shining bright enough. Darkness and light cannot coexist. Rest and restlessness cannot coexist. Let's look at what Scripture says. In Scripture, dualism does not exist. Compartments does not exist. Look at this. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. Evil and good cannot coexist. We tend to think that on Monday when I go to work, there will be evil, but I'm the good and we can coexist, but it can't. Scripture says deliberately, expose the works of darkness. We tend to think that evil cannot exist in the church. On Sunday, there's no evil. A friend of ours, their daughter, she was still grade 9, and she just said something so funny while we were eating at their home. We did some counseling with them and just ate, and she said, "But Dad, it's fine to swear during the week, but not on Sundays." Papa, ons kan maar vloek hierdie week, maar ons moet nie Sondag vloek hê. And it sounds stupid and it looks stupid, but you know what? That is how we live our lives. The devil is not as good as God. The same level of darkness is not as good as the same level of light. Christ has overcome. It's not the same. It cannot coexist. There's only one winner. And it's the light. It's God. Let me look at rest and restlessness. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Jesus never said, "Go to the beach and find rest." Jesus never said, "Go on holiday and find rest." Jesus said, "Come to me." And it's again one of those compartments. I can truly rest if I can go on holiday. And it's one of those funny things where we feel we must take a break from church. I must take a break from church, then I must go away, and then I must rest. And then I'll come back revived. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. Because Jesus said, if you want rest, you come to me. You must find rest in your darkest days because you've met the risen Christ. I want to tell you, if you are tired, get up 3 o'clock in the morning. Yes. And pray until Jesus gives you rest. If you find rest in material stuff and in money, I want you also to get up 3 o'clock in the morning and pray until God gives you the rest in spite of your tiredness. We've got to choose life. We've got to make the right choices everywhere. I'm going to say this again later, but I'm going to say it now. If we are not Christians everywhere, we are Christians nowhere. If we are not Christians everywhere, we are Christians nowhere. Why can't the family get up early in the morning with breakfast and everybody's excited? We're going to go to church. Why are we more excited when we have to go on holiday? We pack our car 6 o'clock in the morning, tires are checked, fuel gauge, it's not at E, it's at F. Everybody's happy and excited. But when we go to church, it's always a slap. I can tell you why. Because we live our life in compartments. Church has another compartment. Holiday is another compartment. And it's not supposed to work like that. Look what the Apostle Paul says. We must have a life of freedom and responsibility everywhere. Ten minste stem wyne en hulle se kind saam my. Sy's al een wat amen sê, dankie. Just listen to what the Apostle Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Everything that we do, we must do to the glory of God, even in our pain, even in our suffering, at work, with our friends, with our family. Next, we went to Montague Springs 2 weeks ago. God gave me this sermon next to the fire. I had church next to the fire. It wasn't another compartment. I wrote the sermon down as I was brying. I wrote the sermon down. It was not another box. It was not another place. Don't give offense to the Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I try to please everyone in everything that I do. Now what Paul is talking here, he's not talking about people pleasing. He says, I don't just do what is best for me, I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. Paul is all things to all men as long as they meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul would not sin, but you know what? Paul said, wherever and whenever people look at me, they'll see me as following Jesus. Paul says, I don't live a life of compartments. My own birthday party cannot be more excellent than the small group party. When I invite friends over to come have some cake and some tea, it's excellent. But when my friends come over for small group, it's the same cake, it's the same tea, it's the same excellence. It's not a life of compartments. If you were to meet me in church today, the person that you would meet tomorrow on Monday would be the same person. I want to especially this morning talk to all the children that's still on school. Please don't lead a double life. Please do not lead a life where your parents see you one way at home and you're another person at school. That's just the word that I felt God dropped in my spirit. So how can we live an undivided Christian life? Now, I'm going to give you a few tips here, scriptural tips. scriptural life applications. You go and think at home, how can you live a life where you're not separating the darkness and the light, but where the light wins? Number one, we must repent from our hypocritical lifestyles. We need to realize that if we're not a Christian everywhere, we're not a Christian anywhere. We can't live a life of sin in our private life and then we come to church and worship God as if nothing is wrong. That's a life of compartments. We can't have an affair with people that's married outside of church and then we worship inside of church. We can't live a life of being addicted to pornography outside of the church, but on a Sunday we're fine. The life and the darkness cannot coexist. One must win. We're not into the yin-yang. You see, in the yin and the yang, you have a white part and you have a black part. And if the white part gets too bright, the black part becomes blacker. And I don't know if you've seen, there's these two dots, a white dot and a black dot. Now that's the seed. If the seed of the good increases, the seed of the black will increase. And what they say, they can coexist together. They can't coexist together. Not scripturally. That's why Jesus said something really powerful to the Pharisees and the Sadducees when he talked about being hypocrites. Jesus actually told them, look here, long before Hollywood came, Jesus said, you know what? This is the Oscars at his best. Julle almal kan 'n Oscarkie kry vir acting. I love the way you act. And Pharisees said, this is, I love the way you act on a Sunday. I'll give you an Oscar for being good actors, but I see right through you. I see your heart. And church has become the place of the Oscars. Because we don't want people really to see what's going on in our hearts. We've become hypocrites. We must be the salt and we must be the light everywhere. Secondly, stop rating some aspects of your life as more spiritual than others. Being in church right now is not more spiritual than having coffee with your wife. Having coffee with your wife is just as spiritual as being in church. Some of my most profound spiritual moments I had with my wife at home. Some of my most profound spiritual moments in my life I had with my daughters on the grass in a tree. Some of my most profound spiritual moments I've had with my daughter while she was sitting on the toilet and we spoke. It's spiritual. It was deep. It was profound. At the same time, some of my most profound spiritual moments I had in church. At the same time, some of my most profound spiritual moments I had at small group. Some of my most profound spiritual moments I had at a funeral. Some of my most profound spiritual moments I had at the birth of a baby. There's no compartments. Everything we do to the glory of God. Thirdly, remember that God is interested in your intellectual, physical, and spiritual growth. God wants you to grow intellectually, he wants you to grow emotionally, and he wants you to grow spiritually, and he wants you to grow physically. If you grow physically and you can't grow emotionally, you'll be like a grown-up that throws tantrums. Have you ever met grown-ups that throws tantrums? If you're 30 to 40 years old and you don't grow physically, you know the handicaps that you will have. And so God is interested that each and every one of us will grow in every area of our lives. The intellect, your emotions, spiritually. No, there's a distinction, but there's no division. Discern God's hand in people's life at work, church, wherever you are, on holiday. Always discern what God is doing in your life and work from that place. What is God busy with you right now and work at it at that place? That is also how you need to do spiritual friendships. What is God doing in your life, my friend? I'm seeing God is doing this in your life. How are you growing in it? No, we can't talk about that now. God is talking to you about this. Let's sit down and talk about this. One of the things that God is speaking to me about a lot is just the issue around connecting with the people in my house on an intellectual level, an emotional level, and a spiritual level. In other words, I need to know where they are intellectually, spiritually, and emotionally. Now, the most difficult one for me, Joanne, is the emotional one. Because I live with three women, beautiful women. So I have to connect with all three of them emotionally, but each and every one of them is in at another emotional level. But now God is teaching me how to do it. How to connect with the youngest one emotionally. Now, it's tough. It's tough when they look you in the eyes and they tell you, Dad, you're not hearing me. Dad, you're not hearing my heart. Dad, there's a lot of things that you say. And Dad, the things that you say spiritually is so spot on. But emotionally, you're nowhere. Now, what do you do when you get that feeling when God? You work at it. That's where God's at. Why? Because God is speaking to the whole church about becoming mature. Maturity. Growing up. But we discern God's hands in our life and the church's life and wherever we are. Then use your spiritual gifts wherever you go. The spiritual gift is at your job. Wherever you are, you can use your spiritual gift. Pray for the sick. Heal the sick. Prophesy. At the coffee shop. The DSTV shop. Vodacom. Prophesy. Pray. Lay hands on people. Speak into their hearts. Discern where God is with them in their lives. Continue to do that. Fight the good fight of faith. I'm almost finished. Christ-likeness should be... Scripture should be our moral compass every day. Think Scripture, do Scripture, live Scripture. Scripture, 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 Scripture. You must have a relationship with Scripture. When the world says, you can't forgive him, Scripture says you must forgive. Scripture says greet each other with a holy kiss. Now in today's society, it's very difficult to do kisses holy. You never know. But what Scripture, the principle that Scripture is teaching is that you must greet, groet. He is believed. Al voel jy hoe ons groet. Alles is ongelukkig, ons groet. Ons kyk in die oë en sê môre. Nie. Of ons loop verby mekaar, ons groet. So there's a lot of things that the world says but we don't listen to the world, we listen to Scripture. I can go on and I can go on and I can go on about the debates that I have with people telling me what they think they need to do, which is fine, but they don't want to go back to Scripture. You see, it works like this. Angela tells me how she feels about a certain subject. I listen to her. I tell her how I feel about a certain subject. She listens to me. After that, both of us must go to Scripture, and then we must see what Jesus says about it. And if Jesus says anything that's not compatible with what we believe, then we must repent of the ways that we believe. Now, just the first challenge. She telling me how she feels, I'm telling her, listening, daar verloor ons al baie keer klaar, want haar begin die fight somal. Niemand weet nog wie's reg hier, maar ons beklein nog net dat die honde heil, want ek is reg en jy is verkeerd, en die spoegspat. We haven't come to Scripture even yet. And so we need to listen, and when we listen, we come to that place, hier sit sy kind nie waar, hier, hier, kom, kom broers, hy soek jou. Oh, hy tel, sorry kind nie. Nou het ek om jou vergeet hoeveel hy getel het. Sorry, ek kan nie. Ek dink hy soek jou man. Hy verlang jou so. Anyway. But then we must come back to Scripture and we must sit down, you know. One of the things that we're instilling into, I'm talking just out of my own family now. We're instilling that when somebody leaves our home, we are happy for them when they're going to have time of fun. Almri went about a month, was it a month ago, 3 weeks ago, to carry Job. 2 weeks ago. And we had to sit down and say, everybody's going to be happy for mommy now. We're going to bless her. We're going to send her like what you've did with me this morning. It was so precious. Ek sleep hier die huis uit die. Sien jy, hy wat jy ander dag gedoen het, hy klim dier die venster, hy gaat dans jy, hy klim hier weer 3:30 terug, en hy sit jy aan tafel. Oh, doe my nie dan maar mooi gepreek vir oogend, nee. Maar gisteravond het jy geskoffel, laat die velle van jou hakskeen afgespat het, maar jy was gelukkig. You know, we don't do that. So, we had to teach, and like this morning, some of you people are celebrating this morning, and we've got to learn to celebrate with those who celebrate, but at the same time, there's a death of a brother, and we need to mourn with those who mourn. And it's something that we naturally can't do, but Christ can do it. But it's a life according to Scripture. A lot of people have been asking me, what do I think about the Tim Noakes diet? There's great controversy, and then there's... Now, let me just give you my take on it. I prayed to God, and I said, God, you must show me what this man's doing. Is what this man doing right or wrong? Right. So now I'm praying. My wife gets sick for a whole week. So she's in hospital for a whole week. Four doctors look at her. One of the doctors is in our congregation. He phones me. He says, look here, can I look at your wife's blood work? I say, fine, you can look at her blood work. And so they have a system where they can lock into who you are and look at your blood work. So if he sends me his report of how he sees things about a blood work, and then it hit me. Life's not in the diet, life's in the blood. If you're wanting to know if Professor Tim Noakes is doing the right thing, and I'm not knocking the man, please do a blood test after a year and then see what's going on in your blood, because life's in the blood, life's not in the diet. Life's not in how you look, because one of the other doctors looking at my wife's tests when she was sick and the viral count was very high. He said when he came to her, he said he thought he was going to see an alcoholic. Just looking at her blood work, he thought, ooh, get her, the sick alcoholist. My vrou Fatty word. Sy Fatty kwaini. Sy Fatty kwaini. Ek wil my net dit sê. But again, life's in the blood. Now, her body mass is perfect. She's not overweight. She eats healthy. But it's amazing what people can say. Now, how do I know that? Because Scripture says life is in the blood. Just my take. God said to Cain, your brother's blood speaks. Blood speaks. So if you're wanting to know, now, the reason why I'm using the Tim Noakes diet as an example, the reason, it's just I allow Scripture to teach me what is right and wrong. And I'm open to be proven wrong. If the man's wrong, then he should repent. If the man's right, we should repent. But for now, all that I'm saying is get your blood tested, because blood speaks. Life is in the blood. And any doctor can tell you that. You with me? Please, please don't go out of here and say, Carlos said we mustn't follow their diet. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not a doctor. A doctor can tell you that. They must look at your blood and they must tell you. And yeah. I'm just trying to explain to you how I figured this thing out with God. Are you with me? Because there's great controversy. So now you have my take on it. Scripture should be a moral compass. And then, last but not least, Christ-likeness should be our growth goal every day. In actions and in attitude, Christ-likeness should be our growth goal. If we do that, then we will never live a life of compartments. We will not live a life of religious mixture. If you want to be like Christ, we must choose life every day. And it doesn't matter where we are. And so that's what makes this morning tough. Because every day we've got to choose life. Every day we must get rid of our compartments. The band, you can come. The life of compartments. The life of concealment. The life of loneliness. The life of segregation and separation. It's not a life that Christ sees. There's a life of interdependence. But good and evil cannot live interdependently. One has to win. One has to choose. And one has to reign over every compartment of our lives. And I was just speaking yesterday about him. I was standing up, I was talking to Elmer and Angela were looking after our kids. I was just talking. We were still making fun of how he drove his bike from Hex Park to the church office, Marshall. 7 minutes. He used to brag about it. 7 minutes, because he pastor. 7 minutes. He said, no, half none of 7 gerei. Stop you by die robotte. Nee, nee, ek weet hoe. And you know how he gives you that charming smile with the most beautiful white teeth. And today is gone. And I'm wanting to figure it out won't help a lot, but I can tell you when life hits me like that, it hits every part of me, my spirit, my soul, and my body. It hits every part of my area. It hits all compartments out of my life. And this morning I have no compartments. And I'm sharing that with you because what Christ is wanting us to realize that we can't live double lives. And it's tough. But I'd rather adhere to Scripture in the toughness of my life than anything else. And this morning I want us to choose life. Niceness of life disappears when pain walks into it and you cannot make any sense of it. And all comfort that I can give you this morning is we need to run to Jesus. And we need to be ourselves in front of Him. And we need to allow Him to speak into our hearts and into our lives. Like I've told the team this morning, I feel naked. It feels like every part of my body has been exposed. And I'm wanting to make sense of so many things, but I can't make sense of so many things. But what I do know is that God still speaks to me. But it's in times like these when God knocks all your compartments away that you know, I need a word of life. I need that word. I need that comfort. And I want to encourage you with this because God is interested in everything. Isn't that amazing? He's interested in everything of us. He doesn't say none of them. He says all of us. He was interested in calling that prayer the Our Father, the we, the church, the body. And he said, look, if one suffers, everybody suffers. If there's one rejoicing, everybody rejoices. And for us, it's weird. Hoe moet ek nou huil net hoe wie lag met die een? Van teenus hulle se baba is nou 2 dae terug gebore. Selfe gemeente. And God is just shaking our boxes and God is just telling us, look, I'm interested in everything. And can you see how the yin and yang has infiltrated the church? The philosophy, the coexistence of evil and good, and we think it's fine, and God says, I'm not fine with the coexistence, I'm not fine with your compartments. I want you to come to me with everything that you have, and I don't want you to desist or resist. I want you to come. I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life that says, come, come. Then I want you to stand up and then I want you to come to me with everything that you have. I want you to forget about yourself. Stand in front of me, Father, this morning. You say to us, everything about you says something about you. God, and this morning, we desperately need you. God, and it's strange that 2 days or 3 days ago, we wouldn't have even prayed, we desperately need you. Our desperation would have been at another level, but this morning our desperation is at another level. And Father, forgive us for not having an understanding of the kingdom, because what we see as kingdom, the people in the squatter camps, their level of kingdom understanding is something else. Our level of kingdom understanding is something else. Father, and those in Iraq, their level of kingdom understanding is much different than our level of kingdom understanding. But God, you're speaking to your whole church to mature. You're speaking to your whole church to come to you with everything, with every compartment of our lives. We must come to you spiritually, physically, emotionally, in private, in public. We must run to you. We must run into your loving arms because you want to embrace everything about us. Because God, when you created us, you said that everything is good. But God, the one thing that you're not happy about is sin. Sin cannot be good and sin cannot coexist with us. Father, this morning we long for your embrace that will bring us to a place of life and life in abundance. This morning, if you live a life of compartments, if you live a double life, I want you to come and I'm going to pray to God and I'm going to trust God. You can start walking. If you live a double life, a life of compartments, I want you to come immediately. We're going to pray for you and I'm going to trust God that He will speak into our hearts so that so much will change. The church life, this life, the compartments. And Christ must walk into our hearts and He must help us to overcome this thing, man. There's no other way. If you're a student here and you have a life at school that your parents do not know about, I suggest you get honest with them. I suggest you brutally honest and you go and you sit down and you talk.